Going to be continuing in the book of Psalms. Today we're at Psalm 35, if you want to go there. Psalm 35. Now, Psalm 35 is another psalm of David in this first section of the Psalms, and many of you have these rack cards that we produce, the green rack cards that say Tehillim, the book of Psalms. You can see it up on the screens there. We have those in the lobby. We have those on our website, shalombrevard.com. I would encourage you to download it or pick one up because it gives you kind of a guide for the Psalms that we're going through. And we're in book one of the Psalms, which is Psalms 1 through 42. And these particular Psalms that are in book one of five books of the 150 Psalms, they're personal Psalms. And most of them, the vast majority of them, were written by David, King David. Most of them before he was king. In fact, the vast majority before he was king. And they're deeply personal psalms. And we can really connect, I think, with these psalms. And I hope that you're going to connect today. Many times the psalms are great and they talk about just praising God and things are good. But, you know, often they don't talk so nicely. David is not really on a mountaintop high here in this psalm. He's sort of in a low valley. He's in distress, Psalm 35. It said that this psalm was composed as David fled Saul, when Saul was, of course, trying to kill him, even though he had done no evil against Saul. Saul was coming after David. Saul tried to kill him repeatedly for many years. And the psalm itself, if you look at the psalm in your Bibles, it's a back and forth, all 20-something verses. We're going to jump around today because I want to highlight the back and forth that happens in this psalm. There's roughly three sections that you can divide up the psalm into. And in each section, David outlines all of the ways and all of the people who are coming against him. They're opposing him. They're doing evil against him. They're spreading lies and slandering him. They're doing all these malicious and bad things to David. So in each section, David's going to outline those that fight against him, those that pursue him without cause. And then, after each of the three sections, there's always a verse or two verses between the sections and right at the end where David pauses in the midst of getting attacked, and David acknowledges God, which is kind of a strange thing you would think in the midst of being attacked, but we're going to get to that. He praises God, he acknowledges God, but it's more than just acknowledging God. He exalts Hashem. He exalts the Lord, and he recognizes that it's only God that can deliver him from this. It's only God that can save David out of this predicament that he finds himself in. And because of that, God and God alone is the only one worthy of praise. So this is a great reminder for us today, this psalm. It's a great reminder of a few things. Number one, there's bad in the world. There's sin in the world. We like to sugarcoat and whitewash things. But this psalm reminds us that the world is a pretty nasty place a lot of the time. I don't think I have to remind us of that, right? You just go outside and we can see that. But even in the midst of that, while we see people embracing sin all around us, maybe even people wanting to hurt us without cause or hurting us without cause, we should strive to be like David. We should seek after God and his righteousness. We should praise him, and we should know that he and only he is the one that delivers us. So that's the message, I think, of this psalm today. So let's begin as we go through. I'm going to read several verses first of Psalm 35 to kind of set up this situation that David found himself in, beginning with verses 1, 2, and 3. Contend, O Lord, the words of David. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. So these are strong words from David, who we know was a warrior. He would use this language because he lived this life. And he begins the psalm appealing to God, because there's those that are contending against him. There are those that are seeking to take up arms and taking up arms against him with the desire to kill him. So he's asking God to contend with those that are contending with him. Let's continue now. verses 4 through 8. Let them, the evildoers, be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like the chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hide their net, they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it, and let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it to his destruction. Very strong words, like I said. There's several things here in these verses. First of all, there's people and they're seeking to not just do harm to David. They're seeking to kill him. They're seeking to end his life. Number one. When it says in the Hebrew, they seek my life, it's nefesh. We talked about that word last week. Nefesh can mean your life, your whole being, or your soul. So they seek to eradicate David from this world, to destroy David, to kill him. So that's the first thing. Second of all, verse 4 says, these people are devising evil against David. They're going out of their way to make stuff up, to put traps and pitfalls for David, to make him stumble. And verse 7, they're doing it without cause. David did not do anything to them. David did not have this coming to him, so to speak. They're just doing it because they hate David. And I might add, usually when people do this to us, when people talk about us behind our back, when people malign us without cause, we have to really look at what they're doing. Ultimately, they're maligning the Lord. They're cursing God, because if we're trying to bear God in our lives, and none of us are perfect, but we have to really look at, you have to really look at why people are doing this. Why are people taking up an offense? Why are people getting upset at David and even to us at times? We have to look at the heart behind it. So they're making stuff up, verse 7, about David. They're spreading lies about him. Now, go to verse 11. Let's look at just a few more verses to illustrate just how far this goes. Psalm 35, 11 and 12. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. So he's pretty upset. He's not just pretty upset, he's like despondent. Have you ever been like that in your life when people are just causing harm to you and there's nothing that you did and there's nothing you can do to fix it? This is where David was. Psalm 35, 15 and 16. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. Wretches whom I did not know tore at me without ceasing. Like profane mockers at a feast, they gnash at me with their teeth. This is very descriptive and very in-your-face imagery here. We like to sometimes, I think, sugarcoat the Bible and sugarcoat things. But there is no sugarcoating this. This is evil. This is bad. This is wrong. God says it's wrong. We're going to talk about that today. In fact, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. I'm just picking out some scriptures today that highlight some of this, but the Bible has much to say about this kind of behavior of these people, because the Bible tells us that there is right and there is wrong. And a lot of times that can get really blurred. The lines can get blurred, especially in our society today. But there is right and there is wrong, and there's people clearly doing wrong, and what they're doing is destructive. Proverbs 6, 16. There are six things that the Lord hates. This is bad, right? Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. I think we can tick the box. All of these were done by these people in Psalm 35, right? So this is the worst of the worst. And what does God say about it? He doesn't just say, well, you know, they'll cool down soon, David. No. The Bible says that these are things God hates, that they're an abomination to him. And it's always interesting when we can just point to people and say, well, they're doing that. But sometimes we have to look at ourselves and so and say, are we doing that? We have to really examine our hearts because no one is without sin. And God hates these things. Now, David knew what was right. He knew right was right and wrong was wrong. Why did he know that? Because he was instructed by Torah. Torah means instructions. He knew right, he knew wrong, because he understood what Torah said. And David knew that God wasn't pleased with those who would practice evil like this. Psalm chapter 5. Go back in the Psalms to Psalm 5, verse 4. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. So we know that God not only abhors this, he hates it, but he doesn't want to be in its presence. Like, this is a complete separation from God. And we know the definition of sin is separation from God. So this is the definition of sin. Now, we know from the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm not going to turn there, that the very famous passage in Ecclesiastes, it says, there's nothing new under the sun. So what was the case for David? And David lived 3,000 years ago. What was the case for David way back then in the, you know, the old ages is also the case for us today. In our society today, we see good portrayed as evil. We see evil portrayed as good. It gets muddy, it gets distorted. We see in movies, we see in TVs, and we see in books. Many times the trend now is when you have these, you know, media things where the evil person is portrayed as the protagonist. That they're doing, you know, they're the poor ones that are doing, and it's like turned on its head. And this is not right. I'm not going to quote that Isaiah verse, but you know that Isaiah verse. Isaiah the prophet spoke over 2,500 years ago saying, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We're in that day and age, but the reality is there's nothing new under the sun, and that stuff was happening all throughout history. Point number one, though, there is a clear contrast between good and evil. We have to know this. We have to be aware of what the Bible talks about over and over, and we've read just a smattering of those verses. The Bible says that there's a clear contrast between good and evil. Now we go back to David in the Psalm 35. And we see what David does now is he differentiates himself. He draws this clear contrast between himself and his behavior with those that practice evil. Let's look at again at Psalm 34. Now, drop to verse 14. Let's go to Psalm 34, the previous psalm. I want to draw a contrast here like David did. Psalm 34, 14 says, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You remember that from last week? We are called to turn away from evil because evil is a turning away of God. Guess what? When we turn away from evil, we turn back to God. When Jewish people do it, it's called teshuvah, returning, okay? When the nations do it, it's just coming to God. When the Jewish people do it, it's returning to God because we were there way, way, way back. Remember at Sinai and in those times in the Bible where the Jewish people followed God. The idea is to turn towards God, to seek and pursue shalom. Now, we have that in mind. Go to Psalm 35 now, and I want you to go down to verse 19, showing the contrast here. Verse 19, let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those who wink the eye, who hate me without cause, for they do not seek peace. But against those who are quiet in the land, they devise words of deceit. There's a contrast here. There's the people like, hopefully we are, those of the righteous that are pursuing peace, moving towards God. And those that are going in the opposite direction that are pursuing the opposite of peace, who are causing strife, who are causing problems. This is what the contrast is in Psalm 35. It's obviously grievous to God. Let's go to the Proverbs again. Proverbs has a lot to say about this. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance are the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. Look, God can't be more clear than he is in the Bible about this. To fear God is to hate evil. It's like a double negative here. Hatred of God, right? Hating the bad. Now listen, it's true that David was a great sinner, we're not going to just kind of blow over that. There are many times in the Bible where we read about David greatly sinning before God. You know, it happened throughout his life, before he was king, certainly after he was king. We can read about all of this. But the difference between David, who was a sinner, and these people who were sinners is really a heart issue. And it is depicted throughout Psalm 35. But the difference here is David loved God. David strove to do the right thing, even when he fumbled at times, even when he stumbled and sinned at times. We can read from Psalm places like Psalm 51 about how David was crying out. David recognized his sin. There is times when we all sin, but then there should be times where we realize we have done wrong and we try to make it right before God and before other people. David was different because David loved God and strove to do what is right. Turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. The book of Acts is talking about David, and the book of Acts is contrasting the work of Saul, who was the king previous, to the work of David, who was the next king. Acts 13, 22, listen to what this says. And when he had removed him, which is he removed Saul, God raised up David to be their king, Israel's king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. If God is calling somebody a man after his heart, that means this is a person that is pursuing shalom. That means this is a person that is pursuing righteousness. It doesn't mean we are perfect, just like David wasn't perfect. It just means David sought God. And this made David different from all the other people around, certainly from Saul. David sought the Lord. He did not actively seek to do evil. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 says this, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, David not only did not plot evil against those who were now plotting evil against him, he actually prayed for them in the time of their need. So he doesn't just say, oh, God, please deal with them. He says, look, I prayed for them when they had issues, and now look what they're doing to me when I have issues. And the Bible in Psalm 35 talks about that. Go to verse 13 and 14. But I, this is David talking, when they were sick, when the evil people that were doing things against me now were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. Just pausing really briefly. You know, in the daily prayers, there's this thing called tachanun, which is when you make confession to God, when you beat your chest, when you sit down and put your head down at times, and you're just saying, God, I know I'm not perfect. I know I mess up. Forgive me for this. I can just imagine this and picture this. And it references, of course, David in the liturgy when we do tachanun. But I can imagine that when I read verses like verse 13, with David bowing his head on his chest, bowed on my chest. In verse 14 of Psalm 35, I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother. As one who laments his mother, I bowed down in mourning. This is the heart of someone that loves God. When you can say, even to your enemies, I'm praying for them. I pray that they turn because this isn't good behavior. And you know what? When you're sick, I'm praying for you. I'm hoping that you get better. This is what David is doing. And he's saying, I grieve for them like a friend, like a brother, like I would grieve over my brother or like my mother. This is deep mourning for someone who doesn't feel the same way, obviously. Now, this can be discouraging, right? Because if we're living lives like this, David is a model for us, I believe, as followers of Yeshua today. But it can be discouraging because if we're in the business of doing that with our life and the other people are in the business of trying to shoot us down with every breath and trying and speaking out evil against us and slandering us and opposing us at every turn, that can be discouraging to continue to do good while others are plotting evil against us. And you can hear David's cry about this. He's not oblivious to this. Psalm 35, verse 17. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lion. So David knows what they're doing. He probably heard it from other people. He knows it's going on. But like David, we cannot be discouraged. We need to have a commitment to righteousness, to doing good. None of us are perfect. We all sin and fall short. But the question for us is, what is the state of your heart? Are you striving to do good? Are you striving to pray for those when they're sick? Are you striving to seek God and pursue peace? Point number two in our message, we need to be committed to living righteous lives. You know, it's fun sometimes, but it's difficult many of the times. It's discouraging many times. But I believe with many things, God asks us to just persevere, push through it, just be committed every day to get up and live righteous lives, no matter what is going on out there or to us. Now we come to the last point here. You know, David was a great warrior. David had a lot of battles that he won. He had much strength. He was looked on at times by the whole country. I mean, not during this time, because as we said, this psalm was probably written as he's fleeing from Saul. Now, contextually, David was very loved amongst Israel. It's said that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. The people loved him. But here's what happened. David's reputation was thrown into the trash by Saul. You can imagine what Saul and his people were saying after David left for his life. They were pursuing him, but I'm sure they were talking about how David's done this and David's done that and David's not who you all thought he was. So there's a character assassination going on. So even though David was this great warrior, even though David became a great king and a great leader, how much so? So much so that all the other kings in the Bible are looked on as if how they measured up towards David. You know, if you look through the book of Kings, the Kings books, every king is measured upon, well, were they kings like David? Or were there kings like, you know, the bad guys? So David is, in all of his greatness, all of his strength, David knew though, he knew that it wasn't his strength. It wasn't his victories. It wasn't his standing before the people. It wasn't his charisma when God made him king over all Israel. It was God and God alone that could do anything. David, without God, would have been nothing. It was God, because God alone lifted up David. God alone delivered David, and God alone saved David. Turn with me to Psalm 35, verses 23 and 24. David's words again. Awake and rouse yourself, God, for my vindication, for my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Translation is, I can't do this. I am out of the country. Nobody, who knows what people think of me? I don't have any men. At the time, he was just kind of all alone. And David knew that it was only God that could do this. David was crying out to God because he knew that only God can vindicate him. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Now, as followers of Yeshua today, all of us that know the Lord, that follow after Yeshua closely, we know that only God delivers. We know that it's not our job to right the wrongs against us. You knew that, right? I know, I always have to remind myself of that, because what do I instinctively want to do when somebody is slandering me outside? I want to slander back. I want to hit back, right? An eye for an eye kind of thing. But the Bible tells us of a different way. Romans 12, 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It would have been easy for David to become overcome with this evil all around him, all out there against David. But we are told, no matter how bad it gets, to not be overcome by the evil, but overcome the evil with the good, to continue to be seekers after God and his peace. And David is left with this in Psalm 35. Not strength, not riches, not countrymen, but he's left with only God and the idea that God is the one that delivers, and therefore God is the one that's worthy of praise. Now, each time in Psalm 35, I mentioned there's three sections. Each time there's a section where David laments about the evildoers, there is always a verse or two verses where he brings it right back to where it should be, which is choosing to turn and praise God. The first time is Psalm 35, 9 and 10. Let's go there. So the first eight verses, contend with those, Lord, lamenting. And then in verse 9, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs them. That's the first time. Second time, Psalm 35, 18. What does he say? I will thank you, God, in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. That's sort of the last thing I want to say when people are slandering me, right? I think you're probably the same way as me. But David's reaction was, I'm going to go and praise the Lord in the congregation. And here's the last one, Psalm 35, 27 and 28. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and your praise all the day long. Point number three in our message, we are called to praise our God who delivers. We're not called to go and right the wrong ourselves. We're called to praise our God who delivers. I'm reminded of that verse, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes all we can do is be still and know that he is God and praise him. And what's interesting about this and the words that David uses, I want you to catch this too. All too often we think that it's all very individualistic, our relationship with God. We have this mentality that our lives, our spiritual lives, are between us and God. And yes, that is completely 100% true. However, there is a congregational approach with the Bible and to praising God and to living our lives. No man is an island is very, very true. And if you look at our liturgy, if you open up the door and look at any of the prayers, it's always we. It's collective. It's never really I. Of course there's I will praise God. But when we get together, when he talks about being in the congregation of the righteous, which we sang today, in the great congregation, praising him, it's a collective praise. We were meant to praise God together as a community, as a congregation. So it's not just individual all the time. Yes, we need to cultivate our individual relationship with God, but we cannot neglect coming and praising God together. The best and easiest way to do that is to come to services every week, is to be praising him together as we chant these wonderful prayers and songs to God, as we sing praise and worship, and as we hear the word of God. It's collective. We need to praise God and praise him together. So Psalm 35 teaches us a few things, but the first thing is there's evil, there's bad. It's not going to just be all rainbows after you become a believer. I think that we're sold this bill of goods sometimes as believers. Oh, just say this prayer, just change your heart, just do this thing, and everything's going to be great. Well, this is not what God teaches us throughout the Bible. And as we've been going through the Psalms, I hope you're picking up on that. I mean, that's like the basic thing here. We have to know. The Bible teaches us again and again, there is evil in the world. There are those practicing evil, and as much as you and I would want God to just deal with them right away, God, I've been wronged, fix this wrong, it's fair, God, it's only fair, many times he doesn't. Doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care for us and doesn't want for our good, because you could just look at David and you could say, well, didn't God love David? Because all this bad stuff kept happening to David. Why do we think that we're going to fare any better than some of these characters in the Bible? So the psalm teaches us right theology, that there is evil in the world. And sometimes it can seem like evil is winning, but the Bible also teaches us, Psalm 35 also teaches us, we can't lose heart. This is a model prayer for us. As the evil is encircling, as the bad is going on, what should be our reaction? Our reaction should not be, well, God, you're not being fair. God, when are you going to do something? I mean, there's times where we have to say, how long, O Lord? But then there's times where we just turn around, we have to say, I'm just going to praise him. I'm just going to come to service, even though this is going on in my life, and I'm just going to praise him through the storm. David turned and praised God. He knew God was in control. He knew that evil may prevail for a time, but in the end, God and his righteousness will triumph, and this is the major lesson for us today in Psalm 35. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you because your word, as we go through the Psalms, as we go through these books of the Bible, Lord, your word teaches us over and over how to properly understand what's going on. We know, Lord, that there's evil in the world. We know that there are people that are not for us, but are against us. Of course, we know that we're not perfect either, Lord. But may we all be those who strive for righteousness, who seek peace, who pursue you, Lord. And whenever we fall, may we get back up, shake off the dust off of our feet and our bodies sometimes. Sometimes you just get knocked down in life, Lord. But we know that there is redemption in you. We can praise you, and we know only you deliver. We thank you, Lord God, for that ultimate deliverance that we have in Yeshua, our Messiah, who died for our sins so that we may be alive in you and we may praise you in the assembly and we may live our lives as redeemed of you. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch hearts today, even for those that would do us harm. Soften hearts today, Lord God. Bring people to you. Bring your people back to you. We pray for this, Lord God. We thank you for your word and what it teaches us. May we carry this with us throughout the week, and may we grow in our faith in you. We thank you and praise you, God, and give you all the glory, praise, and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen.